And we bid you welcome in the Saviour's name to God's house today. Good to see all who have made it to this time of public worship. We come to our opening praise, this great hymn that you should all know, number 42, How Great Thou Art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power through all the universe displayed. Stand and sing.
Bye.
your seats. We'll sing the third verse again. Every verse is a great verse, but this verse is tremendous. We're led to Christ, we're led to the cross, we're led to the heart of the gospel, the fact that he took our place and he died for us. And before we read the psalm for today and pray, we're going to sing this again in worship and praise to the Lord. When I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. Psalm 132 is our psalm for today. Let's read this psalm as we come to the Lord. I always make this psalm very personal to me. David is able to say, Lord, remember David. And we certainly pray over that. Remember this David, and the Lord will bless him, help him, fill him with grace and power. For David, it was all his afflictions. And he, we know, suffered many, many times. Let's think of the words as we read them together. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes, or slumber to mine eyelids, until I find out a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we heard of it in Ephratah. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. Let's bow together, seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, in many ways, as we come to the house of God today, to a time where the people of God principally gather together for worship, it is to proclaim how great thou art, to glory in our God, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, the sustainer of all things around, who preserves us in this life, who gives us the very breath of our bodies every day. In him we live and move and have our being. And the God who is the God of redemption, who at such a costly price has purchased eternal redemption for us in the death and the sacrifice of his dear Son. We come to praise thee for these things, to glory in the Lord, to lift your name high. Help us to do that throughout this service. Thank thee for the opening hymn that proclaims the greatness of God in nature, in the beauty of God's creation, as well as in everything else that the Lord has done, and not least the great redemptive work of which we have been singing. When I think of God, his Son not sparing, we're glad today to know that God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. Lord, when we contemplate this, how that he bled and died upon the cross, shed his precious crimson blood for our salvation, underwent the wrath of God, and all that it entailed as the wrath of God was poured out without measure upon Christ, who became sin for us who knew no sin, who bore the penalty of hell on our behalf. Truly, we scarce can take it in. But we do pray for grace. We pray for help from on high to understand these things more and more. And as we contemplate our Savior in all aspects of his person and character and being and works, help us, Lord, to be able to comprehend more deeply the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Thank thee for today, for the Lord's Day, a day that is special, when your people can come like this to your house and worship. Thank thee for the singing of the praises of Zion, the offering of prayer, the reading of your word, and later the preaching of it. All these things that constitute a worship service. And Lord, we just simply pray for your help, your presence, your blessing to be here. We give thanks for a past week and for the presence of God with us at Youth Challenge, for the many children that gathered in, many new families that have been reached, new faces to us as far as our work is concerned. Thank thee, Lord, that they sat and they listened every night to the gospel. And Lord, it is a powerful word because it is your word. And the Holy Spirit takes that and uses it for his glory. And we do pray that you will use it in these young, impressionable lives, that they will be molded in the right way that will bring them to consider matters that are spiritual and eternal, to the saving of their souls. Thank thee for Noel and Christina and the messages that they brought. Thank thee for all our workers, for Andrew too, bringing this all together. And Lord, we just simply lay it at your feet and seek your blessing upon it. Remembering tonight, a final night, a parents' night, praying that not only the children, but family members, parents indeed, will come in and will sit and listen to your word. Lord, we thank thee that a little child shall lead them, and through this, children will bring their parents tonight to the meeting, and we just pray that the entrance of your word will give them light and understanding. Bless the open-air ministry through this month. We think of this afternoon and the final one next Lord's Day, that you'll bless us as we go out into the community with the gospel and sow the seed, and may there be a harvest. Pray for David and Rachel, so far away serving the Lord in Uganda, that their ministry will be owned of God today, that David will be helped and filled with the Spirit as he preaches your word. Remember Sister Noring here at home during her deputation work, traveling from church to church. We do pray for her safety, and we pray for the blessing of God to attend the reports that she gives, and that she will be encouraged as she visits our congregations. Remember Jonathan today in Makrafelt. We think of this past year of service with the congregation there and his final times of preaching there as their student assistant. Bless him in the ministry of the word. Remember our brother Greg as he continues to minister your word every opportunity that he's given, and to Pankaj as well in India, bless him. We think, Lord, of our brethren and sisters from Ukraine and everything that's happening in their lives, all that's going on at home. Lord, we just think of the war, the cruelty of it, the horrendous weapons that the Russian army are using. We pray for the safety of your people. We pray for the protection of the work of God and the preaching of the gospel. May it have free course and be glorified, and may sinners be converted. Pray for our brethren and sisters here that you'll bless them as they continue to settle into the local town here in every way. Thank you for the safe arrival of the little baby, little Emily, for being with Vika in difficult circumstances when Yuri could not be here. And we just pray that this little child will seek Christ early in life and that you will bless this home. Remember Andrew and Sarah as well as they get married on Thursday. We pray that you'll be with them. May your presence be there from day one. May the Lord himself be present as he was in Canaan of Galilee. And we pray that this young couple will know your blessing from day one. So, Lord, meet with us now and pour out your spirit upon this congregation in Jesus' name. Amen. Warm word of welcome to all that are gathered in the building today and those that are listening in. Some are tuning in on the internet, and we're always glad to have your presence and you part of our work here in Hebron. Remember, the open air is in Millbrook Manor. Put in the word manor so you know what part of Millbrook to go to, and pray that the Lord will bless his word. I think the weather's to be okay, so we're glad that we have dry weather for open air work. Remember tonight, we've prayed about this and we've announced it already, Youth Challenge Parents Night at 7, preceded by the prayer meeting at 6:30. And Christina is coming for a final time to speak to the children. And we're just looking for the kids to come and the parents and family members to come in as well, and for this final time to be a real blessing as a congregation. Supper will be served, and ladies, what you brought last week, we're asking you if you can please do that again this evening. Then Monday to Wednesday is the Sunday school camp. You pray for the camp, the children, the leaders, Robert McConnell as he comes to speak to the children throughout, that the Lord will be with these children, bless them in their activities, bless them in the times around God's word, and that the leaders will all be kept sane. That's important when you take children away. On Thursday, it's the wedding of Sarah and Andrew. Andrew and Sarah, putting Sarah's name first because she's from here. We normally put the man first, just out of etiquette. The wedding is at Montalto Estate, so just keep that in mind. And obviously, as far as the church is concerned here in Hebron, we wish them both well. The blessing of God to be with you on Thursday and then every day thereafter and the years that God is pleased to give you together. Thursday is the midweek service at 8 o'clock for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. And we remember missionary work and revival particularly. Very special event on Friday night. I've just taken it as it is, the invitation here. But Peter Craig will be installed as the pastor of Grange Baptist Church. And Peter was with us for a lot of the summer, and he has a very close connection to our congregation, of course, through Lucy Jane. And that meeting is at 7:30. So just note the time there, 7:30 on Friday night at Grange Baptist Church. We wish Peter well as he is inducted and brought into the ministry in that congregation. Next Lord's Day of the prayer meeting is at 8 o'clock here in the fellowship area. Worship service, 12 noon. We're having a missionary report. We normally have our sister on a Thursday night, and we had to cancel the first one because she returned to Uganda, and we've rescheduled again so that we have the better benefit of having as many as possible. So Noreen will be reporting, and I'll be bringing a message, perhaps not just as long as normal, but do pray for our sister and the work that she does at Emmanuel Christian School. Open air next Lord's Day afternoon, the final of its kind in the month of August, is in Stuart Park at 3:30. Remember the gospel meeting at 7, preceded by the time of prayer. Again, we thank you for your tithes and offerings. They have been encouraging. When we think of, because of COVID, we put them down there, the plates down there at the back, and you're still giving well. And we want to thank you sincerely in the Lord's name. Today is Missionary Council envelopes and the School Covenant support, and next week the Home Mission Outreach envelopes. I'd like to congratulate Keziah. Keziah is reaching her 18th birthday on Thursday. She's not with us. She's in Lisburn this morning, Lisburn Free, but the family can pass it on and we'll maybe see her later. And we trust that the Lord will bless her. We mentioned significant birthdays, and when you become 18 officially in this country, you're an adult. And so passing from what is known as your childhood days into adulthood is a date to mark, and we trust God will bless her. We also congratulate Yuri and Vika and their family on the birth of little Emily. I hope I've spelled it the English way, and I hope that's their correct spelling. But some of you may have seen this picture. That was day one. That's the day of little Emily's birth, when she was brought into the world. And we're very thankful to the Lord for the grace given on Wednesday. Used to be, years ago, they kept you in hospital. And that's not the case today. The next day, Thursday, she came home in the evening, and that's her just arriving back at her house and then up to their accommodation. And we trust that God will bless this little child. I've been asked by Vika just to pass on sincere thanks to the church for remembering her. It's been difficult, as you know. It's been a glad time, but it's been a sad time because Yuri, her husband, is not here. They were able to do a video link, and he was able to see the little girl coming into the world, and we're so glad about that. But there's a big distance there of over 2,000 miles, and yet here's joy in the midst of war, joy in the midst of coming to a new culture, climate, country, all that, and a little baby being born. So it's very, very historic. And some have sent little gifts to Vika, to the baby, and she says, thank you in the Saviour's name. I just want to mention one of those gifts because I don't know who it came from. They're not from the church here, but it came through a member of the church. And it came from an old lady who is 90, and she knits little blankets, and she had knitted these squares, got them all sewed together, and sent two blankets and some little cardigans for the child. She's a lady of 90 in a home. She is suffering with cancer. Her days will be few. In fact, this could be the last task that she has done. And she was very anxious that that gift went to this family. And I thought that was just lovely. I want you to pray for the Ukrainian families because things are moving quickly for them. And they're starting to move out of the church. And so this was a big event last night. Premises have become available for Ivan and his family. And at 4 o'clock yesterday, we were able to get this van and come to the church to move their belongings. Now, I thought that the man who had gone to paint another property that is being moved into next week would have been there at 4, but they weren't. So I had two young girls, teenage girls, and myself, and then there's a few others came along and helped as well to get the van packed. But then by the time we got up to the accommodation and we waited, and this is us just arriving with, I call her Babushka, which is grandmother. She calls me Jadushka, which is grandfather. But we went up with the van, and then the men came and they got the van emptied, and we appreciate the work. Ivan, we wish you well and your family. The Lord will bless you. And the others, very possible in the incoming week, if not the incoming week, the following week, they will be moving as well. And that's historic after 3 months being here. And there was one time 20 of them in the church. It's down to 18. Can you just put yourself in that number? Just think about 18 people, 20 people in the church here, and you being housed in one little place together. And you're sleeping in the same building, you're eating in the same building. Wouldn't that be a test of your grace? possibly it would, these people have done well. Youth Challenge, we want to praise God for answered prayer. We want to thank the congregation for praying. We had favorable weather. You know, the previous week, the sun was shining and the temperatures were hot. And then we saw last week what this week was to be. And it was rain every day. And yet, God gave us good weather, especially for those times when the children were outside. Great attendance. Over the week, there were 170 children plus who attended. And many, many new children for us who have been reached and brought in. And we know the good seed of the gospel has been sown by our two speakers. And we've had a fantastic team of workers. Last Sunday night when we said for the workers to stay and they came here, there were over 50. And I'm sure there were that and more who were there through the week helping out in many, many ways. So we thank Andrew and we thank the Youth Challenge leaders for the work that they did. Very quickly, just a few slides of what the children were doing this week. And just as they are, no particular order, just a few of the selection that we have taken. They were studying kings and queens of the Bible, so hence the crowns that were made and the castle that was also made through the week. And then they had other activities indoors and outdoors as well. And for the first time this year, there was the football camp in the afternoon. So all this was taking place. Very interesting, the different activities that were done. And the children really enjoyed it. I had a parent that met me just yesterday in the town. I didn't really know this lady, but she'd come up to me and said, "Thank you, my little child really enjoyed Youth Challenge." And so, again, we commend our workers. Little time of singing choruses together after the meal and before the activities of the evening. These were some of the activities. So just really getting this all together, as you can imagine, and all the workers just making sure it runs smoothly took a lot of time and effort. Most important time, of course, was that time in the church sitting beneath the sound of God's word. This is the junior meeting and then the senior meeting. We're wanting you to pray for the mission, the Platinum Jubilee mission, which starts on the Lord's Day of the 11th. That's 4 weeks' time, going through to the 25th of September. Pray for us as we prepare our mind and our heart before God for this time. Remember the sick of the church. Maureen is home from hospital. Karis is still recovering at home. And we remember Peter and Mervyn and Elizabeth and all these others, Aaron, Dorothy, Mark, Madge, Maud, Nigel, Jessica Peden's mum, Jamie and Mrs. Robinson. And we don't read their names out every week, but they're there and they need prayer. David and Rachel, as they serve the Lord in Uganda. Some of you have seen these photographs that have been sent over. They seem to be really enjoying their visit. And this is just the road really near to the school. That's all the announcements that I need to make. We're going to sing together the hymn 2. This is very much in keeping with the message today. Now in a song of grateful praise, to thee, O Lord, my voice I'll raise, with all thy saints I'll join to tell. And this is what you want to take home in your heart from the word of God today and from the hymn now that we sing, My Jesus hath done all things well. That can't be said about us every time. We can say it in a sense. We think of Andrew and the youth leaders this week. They've done all things well, as best as they could. But I'm sure the past week had imperfections as well. Not so when it comes to Christ. He's done all things well. Every detail, great and small. So above the rest, this note shall swell. This is the thing. My Jesus hath done all things well. Let's stand to sing.
My voice I raise to thee, all my saints I
Greg and Janice, I'm seeing you now. It's not because COVID has made you so much older. We haven't seen you for so long. Everyone's getting younger looking. But it's good to have you with us from Scotland today. May the Lord bless you. We're turning to the Gospel of Mark in the chapter 7. Coming to the same passage of Scripture that we were in last time. Only taking out, and you'll see the text. You'll get it immediately after what was sung. I want to apologize to our Ukrainian friends because our translator is on holiday, and so we've just given you English notes. Okay, so you're going to have to. We thought it was better than nothing. You can look to Tanya, and she can help you, and Anastasia, and Anita, and those that have a little bit of English, and Sasha. He's a very good interpreter, translator. Let's read from verse 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came onto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. With the Bible before us, we'll pray and just simply ask the Lord to help in the ministry of the word. Our gracious God, in the precious and the worthy name of thy dear Son, we draw near for this moment to ask your blessing upon the preaching of the word. We thank thee for this service, for what we've done already in the worship of God. We've been blessed together in these hymns that we've sung together. We've been led to Christ. We rejoice in that. And we thank thee for your word that we've just read and for this marvelous statement of divine truth that we're going to look at today when we think of how our Savior has done all things well. We pray that you will impress this text upon our minds and our hearts. Give me the help that I need in every way to bring your word today. May the power of the Spirit be here, working in every heart for Jesus' sake. Amen. So you've guessed the text. It's verse 37. It's this statement. He hath done all things well, and we put a title on this message, A Fitting Testimony of the Life and the Character of Christ. Now, there is the hymn that we sang by Samuel Medley, and there's actually 10 verses in the original hymn. Now, in a song of grateful praise to thee, O Lord, my voice I'll raise, with all thy saints I'll join to tell, my Jesus hath done all things well. And this song, of course, got its inspiration from our text here in the Gospel of Mark and the chapter 7 and verse 37. The Savior has left the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, where he delivered the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman from the powers of darkness. And he enters the region of Decapolis and then onwards to the Sea of Galilee, where he meets this man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. This man had been brought to the Lord Jesus by his friends that he might heal him. The Lord had compassion, and he healed him instantaneously. The case, of course, was very sad, afflicted with deafness and with dumbness. He could not hear. He could barely speak. Can you imagine living in a world like that, where you can't hear and you can't really speak, and how cut off that would make you from the rest of the world, especially way back these hundreds of years ago in Bible times. We ought to pause for a moment and thank God for our faculties. You know, He has preserved in us the sense of hearing. It's a great blessing to be able to hear, to be able to hear the conversations of other people, to be able to hear members and our friends speak to us, and of course, come to God's house and hear His word. Has given to us the faculty again for Christians, God's people, we love to use the faculty of speech in the worship of God, in the singing of the praise, and in the proclamation of the word as we testify to others about our Savior. We ought to take a moment also to consider with compassion tenderness. We ought to have compassion. For far too often we take our faculties for granted. We ought not to. This poor man is brought to Christ, who shows to him the utmost compassion. How we praise God for such a Savior as this. Christ takes him aside, takes him away from the crowd in verse 33. Usually miracles were very public. They were done before the multitude. But what is done here is done privately. There are things which are best done where nobody sees, just done in a private sense by God Himself. The actions of Christ are somewhat peculiar. He didn't merely speak the word. He didn't stretch out His hand to heal, as was His usual practice. We read what He did there at the end of verse 33, put His fingers into His ears, He spit, He touched His tongue. Looking up to heaven, He sighed, and He speaks this word, Ephphatha, which is, be opened. Why did He do this? I cannot say for certain, because the Scripture doesn't tell us. I know that all He needed to do was to speak the word. All He needed to do was to stretch forth His hand, or even think the miracle in His mind, and it would have been done. I just say that the Lord had His reasons when He did anything. And we know, as we'll come to see, He did everything well. The sighing of Christ was a sigh of sympathy, a sigh of compassion and love. He felt for this poor man before Him who, by and large, was excluded from society. He knew little of the conversation of others and the fellowship of others. He couldn't interact with his fellow human beings. The man was wonderfully healed. The power of God is at work. The Savior, for whatever reason, He gives further instruction. Look there at verse 36. He charged them that they should tell no man. But the more He charged them, the more a great deal they published it. The Lord said, don't tell anyone. Don't publish this abroad. But it was made very public. The miracle obviously brought great joy and delight and excitement, and therefore the spirit of happiness and zeal caused the people to proclaim what had happened. We understand that. And in normal circumstances, we would expect that when the Lord does something, we tell it abroad. We don't blame these people for their enthusiasm, by the way. We will conclude, as Matthew Henry did, that it was an act of indiscretion rather than an act of disobedience. Both they that told it and they that heard it were amazed. The Scripture says they were beyond measure astonished. The fact that there was one who could heal the deaf and the dumb so quickly, so plainly, so certainly, instilled a profound awe and amazement into the hearts of the people. And it led the people to a wonderful conclusion about Christ. These words that we're taking for our text in verse 37, He hath done all things well. This is a remarkable testimony. It is likely that those who spoke these words did not possibly understand their full meaning and application. It's also likely that we fail to see the full extent of this declaration. But having more knowledge than they, for we have the full record of the life of Christ and his ministry and his mighty doings. In fact, we have the whole scriptures that speak about him from the beginning to the end. Therefore, we could say, more able to comprehend with greater understanding and appreciation the meaning of these words. He hath done all things well. And that's what we want to look at. And there's four things I want to speak about. We could speak about so many things, but four things I think will summarize how the Lord has done all things well. First of all, he hath done all things well in miraculous intervention. When the Lord stepped in, as he did in this chapter, to help and to heal, to intervene for the good and the benefit of others, showing love and pity and compassion and mercy, we can certainly say he hath done all things well. This Syrophoenician woman is burdened and she's broken for her demented child, her little daughter, whose life was overrun and destroyed by Satan. She takes the place of humility, as we know, like a dog, a little dog at the feet of Christ, and she begs for intervention, and she receives the desire of her heart. Her child is delivered and wonderfully set free. And written across this act of great mercy are the words, he hath done all things well. Jesus steps into the life of this deaf and dumb man who is brought by concerned friends for healing and unstops his ears, unties his tongue. This is indeed a miracle that astonished these men. And this is the miracle that caused them to exclaim the words, he hath done all things well, when he delivered the man with the unclean spirit. And he expelled the fever of Peter's mother-in-law. And he healed the leper and all that were distressed and all that were possessed with devils. In chapter 1 of Mark's gospel, we have to say, he hath done all things well. In chapter 2, the paralytic man carried by his four friends to the rooftop of that home where Jesus was. And we know the crowds were gathered inside, outside, and that's why they had to go to the roof. This man rises from his bed, a changed man, to the astonishment of the crowd. And again, we say these words, he hath done all things well. When he healed the man with the withered hand in chapter 3, and he stilled the ferocious storm of chapter 4, when he delivered the demoniac of Gadara in chapter 5, we proclaim as loudly as we can, he hath done all things well. When the 5,000 were miraculously fed with the loaves, the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes in chapter 6, don't we write across that miracle, he hath done all things well? At the end of chapter 6, the sick from many villages and the country areas were led in the streets as Jesus went by. And he showed them kindness and he showed compassion and he healed them all. Again, we say he hath done all things well. The same can be said, as we've mentioned, regarding chapter 7, as we think of the deliverance of the Syrophoenician's demoniac daughter and the intervention of Christ on behalf of the deaf and the dumb man, he hath done all things well. But brethren and sisters, I want to put it to you in this meeting, this is our testimony, the testimony of you and I that are here. There have been numerous times of intervention by the Lord himself on our behalf. When we were sick, when we were distressed, when we were lonely and fearful and anxious and even in danger, We look back over our lives with humble thanksgiving and recognition to the mercy of Almighty God, to the Lord who carried us through. And we say, He did everything well. When sorrows, like sea billows roll, came sweeping into our lives, the Lord, in His mercy, carried us through. When sickness overtook these weak and feeble bodies of ours, He touched us and He made us whole. And even when He didn't, as we shall see, He gave us grace to bring us through. When faced with insurmountable burdens and problems, when we hardly knew what to do or where to turn, the Lord came. He intervened for our good, and we proved the all things working together for our good. And our testimony at this moment is the same testimony proclaimed by these people. He hath done all things well when it comes to miraculous intervention in our lives. Secondly, He hath done all things well in marvelous creation. I look out into the amazing creative world of science and nature, and I am forced to exclaim, He hath done all things well. The opening line of divine inspiration declares, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and He did so in 6 literal days. He did it by a word of command. Each day we read, God said. He spoke the entire universe into existence by the word of His mouth. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. God said, let there be light. Let there be a firmament. Let the waters be gathered together unto one place. Let the dry land appear. Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb, and the fruit tree. Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven. Let the waters bring forth abundantly. Let the earth bring forth the living creature. Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. After all things were created by God, God stood back and He surveyed His creation. And my dear friends, we know when He did that, we are told it was very good. Everything, very good. What we read about creation and what we see in the beauty of nature, even in this fallen world around us that lies under the curse of sin, brings us to the same conclusion as these people in Mark chapter 7. He hath done all things well. The patriarch Job makes this wonderful statement. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. The psalmist David, he declared, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Psalm 24 and the opening 2 verses. Yes, He hath done all things well. God made the universe and He sustains it. According to scientists, Earth's position in the universe and its geological and chemical processes work together with exquisite sufficiency to create a safe place for human beings to live. Consider, for example, that it would take a star with the highly unusual properties of our sun, the right mass, the right light, the right age, the right distance, the right orbit, the right galaxy, the right location to nurture life on a nearby planet. Also, the moon, that the moon's size is just the right proportion to stabilize the tilt of the Earth's axis and generate tides, circulate ocean water, and keep it fresh. Looking at how intricately the Earth is designed, it quickly becomes clear that nothing, as far as life in this world is concerned, is accidental. We think of how awe-inspiring nature is, even to the point of being almost incomprehensible. Consider the richness of the sunset. I'm sure all of us, at some time in our lives, maybe many times in our lives, have contemplated the majestic scene of a beautiful sunset, and our attention has been captivated by its stunning splendor. Maybe driving along the road in our car, or standing on the seashore, or making our way through the mountains, and there in the evening time as the sun is setting, we have beheld the splendor of that sunset scene, and we've just stood back in amazement. I think we've all been there. How captivating these scenes are. Think about the complexity and the multiplicity of the stars. Stars are not scattered randomly through space. They are gathered together into vast groups known as galaxies. And the sun belongs, as you know, to the galaxy that is called the Milky Way. Astronomers estimate that there are about 100 billion stars in the Milky Way alone. Outside that, there are millions and millions of other galaxies, approximately 2 trillion galaxies in the world. That's 2 with 12 zeros after it, just for your information. And I don't want to get too complicated here, but if you were to use the Milky Way, our galaxy, as a model, an example, we can multiply the number of stars in our galaxy with the number of galaxies in the universe, and there are 100 billion. That is 100 billion by 2 trillion. That's the sum. And all of you mathematicians are able to give an immediate answer to that calculation. But for us that are less mathematically minded, let me give the amount. It's 200 billion trillion stars in the universe, or 206 trillion. That's 2 followed by 20 zeros, okay? The mathematicians knew that, the rest of us didn't, but you know the answer is absolutely astounding. The number is so big it's hard to imagine. I'm told it's about 10 times the number of cups of water in the oceans of the world. Think about that. The next time you look up into the starry sky on a night when there's no clouds and you're in a place where there's not street lights, you're out there in some dense place, it's dark, and you're able to see with the naked eye the beauty of God's creation and just those stars above. You remember the stars that he just made? He made the stars also, just almost like an incidental thing. This is God's creation. He hath done all things well. Think of the beauty of the heavens. We haven't time to delve into the diversity, the complexity, and the intricacy of the animal world, but there's plenty there in a good science book, or you just need to go to Answers in Genesis and some creation website, and they'll be able to give you many, many examples of the beauty that there is there and the complexity in the animal kingdom of the world. What's the conclusion that we come to as we think of God's marvelous creation? There is only one conclusion, and it's our text. He hath done all things well. I want to say thirdly, he hath done all things well in merciful redemption. This was his greatest work in purchasing eternal salvation for that great multitude that no man can number by his own redemptive blood. Surely we can cry as never before from the very depths of our heart, he hath done all things well. Here I am, a sinful creature as a result of the fall. I came into this world like every other human being, came into this world, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, separated from God, under condemnation, deserving nothing but eternal hell forevermore. And if I got my just deserts, I would be put into the deepest cavern of the damned forevermore, because that's what I deserved. Hell burns eternally for lost souls. I wish we could understand that more. If you're not a Christian in this service today, I want to remind you of this very thing. You're heading to the blackness of darkness forever. You're going down to the sides of the pit to eternal hell, not just for a few short years. You're going there for eternity. And hell is burning tonight or this morning and will burn forever. Come with me just for a moment to the testimony of the Ephesians, because it is our testimony. It's just reminding us what we were and what we are now. I'll do this very quickly. It's Ephesians 2. The opening verse reminds us that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past, that's when we were unconverted, that's when these Ephesians were unconverted, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had a conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You read those verses and you'll discover we're dead, we are debased, we are diabolical, we are disobedient, we are debauched, and we are doomed. But now read verse 4 onwards. But God. That's what makes the difference. This is divine intervention. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Just mark verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ. You can read the rest of the verse yourself. That time you were without Christ. But look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Come with me to the cross. Please stand with me just for a moment or two and watch Jesus die. See him pay the penalty for sin. The sin that we owed that penalty for. And there upon that old Roman cross, he took our place. It's that grand word, isn't it? Substitution. With the opportunity on Thursday to speak to the children up on the football field on the subject of substitution. How Jesus fully and truly and completely took our place. Here is redemption, here's salvation, here is propitiation, the turning away of God's wrath by the means of an atoning sacrifice. There the crimson, precious, powerful, incorruptible blood of the suffering Savior ran in streams from his body in sacrifice for our sins. It's the price of our redemption. Oh, love divine, what hast thou done? The immortal God hath died for me. The Father's co-eternal Son bore all my sins upon the tree. The immortal God for me hath died. My Lord, my love is crucified for me and you to bring us rebels back to God. Believe that record true. Ye now are bought with Jesus' blood. Pardon for sin flows from his side. My Lord, my love, is crucified. I take my place among the soldiers. There at the cross of Calvary, for sitting down, they watched him there. I just want to sit for a moment with them. I want to look up to the cross. And I want to watch Jesus die. I gaze upon the bleeding sacrifice. I try as best as my poor mortal mind can comprehend and understand such pain and agony and suffering. Oh, the love, the mercy, the grace, the substitution, the costly price. And what conclusion do I come to as I sit there and I watch Jesus die? He hath done all things well. Oh, look to the head, crowned with long eastern thorns and pushed into the brow of the innocent Son of God. He hath done all things well. See the blood incessant flow from his head, his hands, his feet, his side. He hath done all things well. Hear him pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, as he interceded for his enemies, for the very people that put him on the cross. He hath done all things well. Understand, the eternal wrath of a holy God is being poured out without measure upon the darling of God's bosom, his infinite Son. He hath done all things well. Is there not an anthem of praise bursting forth from your redeemed heart just now in contemplation of Christ and him crucified? He hath done all things well. Can I conclude, for time has gone? He hath done all things well in mighty operation. And I'm thinking here about providence. When I think of the sovereign, omnipotent control and supervision of this world and all that is therein, in God's overruling providence, I have to say, even in the mysterious dark providences that I fail to understand, he hath done all things well. Joseph in the Old Testament was taken by his brothers, who despised him and hated him. They conspired to kill him. If it had not have been for the intervention of Reuben, that would have happened. Instead, they cast him into a pit. They sold him for 20 pieces of silver into the hands of the Ishmaelites who were passing by, who resold him into the house of Potiphar there in Egypt. Potiphar's wife, we know, lied about him with slanderous allegations, and this resulted in his imprisonment, where he was forgotten about. Were there not times when he questioned, what's going on in my life? At least he thought, what's happening here? I don't understand it. When we think of what God had revealed to him as a young man, and all this now would seem to be happening in his life, it's all going wrong, all going wrong. And yet, my friends, God in his providence was at work. He was working out a mighty purpose in the life of his child. Job the patriarch suffered more than any man that I ever know or have ever read about. He lost his business, he lost his servants, he lost his 10 children, he lost his health, he lost his dignity, he lost the respect of his wife, he lost any true comfort that his friends could give. They proved to be miserable comforters, we know. And yet, my friends, there was a supreme, sovereign hand at work as God Almighty was working that which was pleasing in his sight. And we know that Job was brought down into absolute misery and despair as dark providence worked in his life. But it was all according to the plan. It was all in the mighty operation of God. The great apostle, we will have to close, but the great apostle had a thorn in his flesh, as we know. He contended with that. Whatever the nature was, we've spoken about that in the past. We'll not go into it now. But he suffered. He prayed definitely for it to be taken away. Prayed three times for it to be taken away, and it wasn't. But God says, my grace will be sufficient for you, Paul. And that thorn in the flesh, whatever the nature of it was allowed to continue in his life. God was in control, and he was working out a higher purpose in Paul's life that perhaps we can't fully understand or appreciate. What about us today? What about you sitting in the pew, this preacher standing in the pulpit? Have we not had our dark days? Of course we have. There not been those times when we have been led into places and we've questioned it, we've wondered why. We couldn't fully understand, why is the Lord allowing this to happen? Is it not true that our friends from Ukraine, I am sure, have had these questions in their mind? The war breaking out, displacement, millions of people displaced. Is it 10 million displaced? Many, many refugees fleeing into other parts of Europe. Going first of all to Poland. What's happening here, Lord, in our lives? Separated from family. Think of what's happened in the past week. A little baby brought into the world. Dad is back in Ukraine. Couldn't be there. Can't be there for the foreseeable future. It will take a miracle to happen for that to take place. We still pray that that will be so. And here they are in Northern Ireland and trying to settle in among us. And you yourselves, whatever your circumstances might be this very day that I don't perhaps know, others listening in on the internet, some cannot be here because of struggles and battles and health issues that are going on in their lives. But my friends, there's only one conclusion, even in the mighty operations of God, in those providential outworkings in our lives, we still have to conclude, because God is God, he has done all things well. And we humbly submit our way to the Lord, and we pray whatever it is, he will bring it to pass for his glory and for our good. Let's pray. Lord, we want to join in the testimony of these people, and we want to proclaim, as they did, he hath done all things well. Whether it's in creation, or in redemption, or in the merciful outworkings of God in our life, this mighty, mighty operation that we're calling providence here today. Help us just to and to recognize God is God. He's working all things out in this earth, and whatever he does, whatever, help us to see that, to sense it and feel it in our hearts, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 110 is the closing hymn. O love divine, what hast thou done? The immortal God hath died for me. The Father's co-eternal Son bore all my sins upon the tree. This is the one that we can't fully understand, the great work of Christ, and yet we rejoice that he did die for us. He bore our sins upon the tree, and we know that in redemption and salvation, he's done all things well. Let's just rejoice as we leave God's house today in the truths that we're going to sing now in this hymn. Let's rise to our feet. Thank you. Take the summary with you. Take the text with you. He has done all things well. Separate, gracious God, with your blessing as we leave church. May the Lord travel with us. May we keep in mind the greatness of God and how that the Lord has done all things well. And may we rejoice and revel in this truth through this day and in the coming days. Dismiss us now with your blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen.